invite you to be seated. If you have your Bible or your Bible app with you, I invite you to join me in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 17 through 27, at least to start. The book of John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. We are continuing our seven-week series considering the I Am statements of Jesus, all of which are found in the Gospel of John. Today, we get to I Am the Resurrection and the Life. I'll begin reading in John 11 and verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Please pray with me. Lord God, we are so thankful to be together in this space today. Thankful for your invitation and thankful for your presence right here with us. We're thankful for the resurrection power and the renewed life that you offer to us as we believe in you, as we trust in you, and as we walk in your ways in this world. Teach us, continue to expand our understanding of who you are and who we are in light of you. Help us as we sink deeper into our understanding of the beautiful grace that you've offered to each of us. In these next few minutes, as we consider Jesus' statement, "I am the resurrection and the life," I ask that you give each of us eyes as we look into this text to see exactly what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft so that we're ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and what we understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in order to set this statement, "I am the resurrection and the life," in its proper context, I want us to jump ahead in the story and then make our way back to Jesus' statement. So to start with, in verses 43 and 44, Lazarus was raised to life. He was raised to life. Listen to the account. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Lazarus is raised to life. Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was in a tomb, and at Jesus' command, he emerges in front of the crowd. No smoke, no mirrors. Just the seventh sign in the Gospel of John of Jesus' miraculous power, a savior of the world. And these events, the raising of Lazarus, led toward Holy Week. The Sanhedrin met soon after this miracle, and they ordered Jesus' arrest, which would eventually lead him to the cross. But Lazarus was not raised to life before Jesus offered a prayer of thanks in verses 38 to 42. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." You see, Jesus doesn't just walk onto the scene and immediately raise Lazarus to life. Before his command, he prays. And it's an interesting prayer. It's a public prayer. It reads almost like a press release. But look a little bit closer. When Jesus came on the scene and prayed, was he offering a prayer for Lazarus? It was a prayer of thanks. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. It's a prayer that John tells us he offered for the benefit of the people there, not for Lazarus. Did Jesus ever pray for Lazarus? We're not sure, but it's likely he did so 4 days before this. And perhaps it was through that prayer that Jesus knew how all of this would end. If you look back at verse 4 of chapter 11, you read this. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. How did Jesus know how all of these events would go? When Jesus prayed at Lazarus' tomb, he already knew that Lazarus would rise from the grave. But about those 4 days, you ever read the story and been a little bit confused, a little bit baffled by the 4 days? Jesus receives news that Lazarus is near death. Lazarus is a good friend of his, and he is good friends with Lazarus' sisters. And what does Jesus do? Pack everything up and hurry his way back to perform the healing? No, he waits. He waits, and it's not until 4 days later that he makes the journey to the tomb of Lazarus. It's easy to misunderstand what's happening here. It's easy to misinterpret Jesus' behavior and his motive for waiting. A little bit of context really helps us in understanding what took place here. You see, the Jewish understanding of death was that it wasn't final until 4 days after someone's passing. If Jesus had dropped everything and gone to Lazarus when he was still, when it was within the 4 days of his passing and gone to that tomb and called him forth, all of the pundits, all of the critics would have jumped up and said, he was just sleeping. He was just unconscious. He was not dead. But by waiting for those 4 days and traveling only then to the tomb, Jesus ensures that the miracle would take place and the people who were there would benefit from that miracle. Jesus' prayer was that people would know and understand salvation, not that Lazarus would be healed. His prayer of thanks is acknowledgement that those present would benefit from witnessing that miracle. Now, the miracle took place, the prayer of thanks came before it, but before any of that took place, in verses 28 to 37, we find Jesus in the depth of grief. After she had said this, Martha went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Verse 35 is perhaps one of the best known verses in Scripture. Jesus wept. So much is communicated in two simple words. And a better translation of this would be Jesus burst into tears. That's the power of the word that John selected to describe his tears. Jesus burst into tears. It was a passionate expression of emotion, of human emotion coming from our Savior. But what has caused these tears? Our natural response is to say Jesus is grieving. He is crying over the death of his good friend Lazarus. But look closer. Look at verse 33. When Jesus saw Mary and the others weeping, he began to weep. It wasn't about Lazarus. He was moved and troubled by the grief of the others who were around him. We worship a God who enters into the pain of his children and grieves right alongside them. This is the God who does the same for us, sits with us in our grief and is moved right alongside us. In all of these events, the resurrection of Lazarus, the prayer of thanks that came before it, and Jesus being moved to tears in the depths of grief, all of them are what rise out of a statement that he made at the beginning of his text in verses 20 to 27. Listen to those verses one more time. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Jesus' entrance into our pain, his prayer of thanks, the miracle of resurrection, all of those are built on what Jesus says in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. And notice, it isn't I bring resurrection and life, but I am the resurrection and the life. That's because resurrection isn't just a doctrine. Resurrection isn't just a future reality. Resurrection is a person. Resurrection is a redeemer. Resurrection is Jesus. And resurrection is something to be lived right now. Yes, there's a future resurrection, but it's meant to impact life in the present. Resurrection and knowing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life doesn't just give us the power we need to face death. It gives us the power we need to live life in the here and now, the kind of life that we've been made for, teeming with joy, filled with peace, the kind that can only come from our God. The Apostle Paul understood how this worked. He declared it in Galatians 2:20 when he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus demonstrated his power over death four separate times during his earthly ministry. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He raised the son of the widow of Nain from death. He raised Lazarus from death. And then Jesus rose himself after the crucifixion. Each one of these displays of power over death display Jesus' power over life and death for all of time. His power over life and death in our world, in our days, in our schedules, in the midst of our life situations. And so when we hear Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life, it's not just about us coming to grips with our eternity. It's about us grabbing hold of that truth, that reality, and seeing in it the promise for the life to come, but more than that, the promise for today, the promise for tomorrow, the promise that he journeys with us in our highs, in our lows, in our griefs, in our happiness, and that in each new day, the power of resurrection and life is ours to experience because of the gift of our Savior, who is in fact resurrection and life. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, on the one hand, this I am statement is words. Words that you say, a promise that you make of who you are, with a glint of hope in it for what eternity might hold. And yet, when we take this statement and we place it in its context, in the midst of this Lazarus story, we can see that you knew you had the power to raise him from the grave, but you had more important things in mind in the moment, which was to teach everyone who was watching about the power that you had and the hope that they could feel because of it in their own lives. wasn't just about Lazarus, Jesus. It was about what you promised to each of us as we trust in you. Jesus, we live in uncertain times. As we look around our world and we see wars and we see poverty and we see fear just so large in front of us. We look at our own lives and the difficulties and challenges we're facing. It can feel overwhelming. It can make us long for the day when we do get to travel home and spend eternity with you, and we cannot wait for that day, but there is so much life and so much resurrection to experience between now and then. And so help us, Jesus, help us to grab hold of this truth, this promise you've made. Show us, Jesus, what it looks like each morning to wake up and to know that we have the resurrection and the life, the power behind those at work inside of us because of you. Show us how to live as your people in this way, Jesus. We thank you for that promise. We pray all of these things now. In your name, Jesus. Amen.